All right. Are we hooked up back in the back? Can I hear on the back row?
Yes.
All right. Good. It's awful hard to lift a voice up that's hard enough to reach to the back row these days. But it's a joy to be with you and to have the opportunity of once again sharing God's word with you, our people of God in New Hope Baptist Church. We're sort of... Pardon me. The text for today we've already gone through, which is Psalm 100. We want to spend our time meditating on that psalm this morning. And we're going to be celebrating a unique holiday this week as we remember to thank God. Pardon me, to thank the Lord for all of his blessings to us. And I ran across a little vignette of the very first Thanksgiving that was celebrated in this country. And it was in a little book called Mort's Relation. That was a guy named Mort that was writing down what was happening in 1621. And here's what he said. And God be praised, we had good increase. Our harvest being gotten in, our governor sent 4 men on fowling. That is, they were hunting birds of some sort. So that we might have a special manner, rejoice together after we gathered the fruits of our labors. They 4 in one day killed as much fowl as with a little help beside, served the company almost a week. At which time, amongst other recreations, we exercised our arms, many of the Indians coming among us, and among the rest of their greatest king, Massasoit, with some 90 men, whom for 3 days we entertained and feasted, and they went out and killed 5 deer, which they brought to the plantation and bestowed on our governor and upon the captain and others. And although it be not always so plentiful as it is at that time with us, yet by the goodness of God, we are so far from want that we often wish you partakers of our plenty. That was the people to whom he was writing. The very first part of our Thanksgiving was thanking God. There's a history book that's taught in the government school system now that says that the Thanksgiving was when the pilgrims got together and thanked the Indians. No, it's when the pilgrims got together and thanked God for his blessings upon them. And so today I want to principally guide our thinking with Psalm 100 and mainly 3 basic questions we'll be talking about there. First of all, who is to thank God? And then how are we to thank God? And finally, why are we to thank God? We have this holiday, and we'll be talking to ourselves and our family and our friends and having Thanksgiving. Who is it that we're going to have thanks to? It's a very important point. Who is to thank God? Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. All ye lands. Now, all lands are to thank God. And if you notice that the rendition there of the word God is, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, Jehovah, all ye lands. Well, how are we going to satisfy that when nations don't have a God? Well, it's very simple. Nations do have a God. There is no neutrality when it comes to God. Nations have gods. And if you consider the nation of Israel, for instance, the God of Israel was Jehovah. And there was a time when America had Christ as our God. And people say, well, you can't have a Christian nation because everybody's not a Christian. Well, that's not what we mean when we say that there's a Christian nation. What we mean is that the civil laws of that nation are based upon the God of that nation. I learned a few things late in life, and that was one of them, that every nation has a God. And the civil laws of every nation is based upon a moral code that's rooted in a religious faith. And in America, it used to be that the laws of America were based upon the law of God, the civil laws. There was a rendition of the laws in Connecticut at one time where every law that was published had a scripture reference after it. And that's what they knew, that the scripture was the basis of the laws. And today you have what we call the Islamic Republic of Iran. And why do we call it that? Because the laws of Iran are based upon the moral code of the Quran. And so the call here is for all nations, regardless of where they are, to follow God. I came across a few little things in my research here that illustrate this. Aristotle, the philosopher, says that all men have a persuasion of deity, or that there is a God. Cicero observed that there is no nation so wild and savage whose minds are not imbued with the opinion of the gods. Many entertain wrong notions thereof, all suppose and own the divine power and nature. So when people tell you that you can't legislate morality, they just don't know what they're talking about. Every law is a legislation of somebody's morality, and every moral code is rooted upon religious faith. You go to the ultimate source of law is the God that you observe. And so when the psalmist says here, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, he's calling out to us as a people, make a joyful noise to Jehovah, who is the God of the earth. And then how are we to give thanks to God? We're to make a joyful noise unto the Lord. You know, there's a lot of people that's basically all they can do, is make a joyful noise. We had a fellow in our church one time that he loved to sing, but he couldn't carry a tune in a bucket. And so everybody would just sort of cringe if he was singing. He loved to sing every song and every verse. But even that is a testimony of praise to God. Do what you can. If you want to have a praise to God, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. But I love to hear the blending of voices in harmony and praise to God. You can't imagine what's going to happen during the Christmas holidays, as you'll hear the Messiah sung on many different radio and TV stations, where this great hymn will be raised to the Lord, and all of our focus will be upon the God who is the Messiah, who is our King, who is our Lord. And the spontaneous breaking out in song is a sign of Christianity. Very few other religions have a singing religion, but Christianity has a joyful noise religion. And how are we to thank God? We're to thank God with glad service. Every one of us has been given a gift of God at when we were born again. If you look at Acts 2:38, it says, it doesn't come to my mind, Ralph, but it says, talk about you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And it doesn't mean the Holy Ghost is a gift. It says the gift that the Holy Ghost is going to give you. And so you have a spiritual gift. And when you have been born again, and you enter into covenant relationship with one another in the church, you're to exercise those spiritual gifts that you've been given. And we have a variety of gifts listed in Romans 9, Romans 12, verses 9 through 12. That we are to use those gifts. It's not just the preacher that's got gifts. Every one of us has a spiritual gift. And our job as ministers is to help you determine what that gift is and to develop the gift and then to demonstrate that gift within the context of the local church. And so we are thanking God when we give glad service to Him. And then in worshipful song, I was looking through the songbook. I have several songbooks at the house, and I love to go through them. And some of these songs we don't get to sing but once a year. But there are a bunch of them in there that just proclaim the gospel so plainly. And one that came to mind was one by Count von Zinzendorf with the Moravians. It's entitled, "Jesus, Thy Blood and Righteousness, Thy Beauty Are My Glorious Dress, and flaming worlds are these arrayed, with joy shall I lift up my head. Bold shall I stand in that late day, for who my charge shall lay? I've been absolved from all of these things." The whole gospel message is in such a hymn. And in doing a little research on it, they had 37 verses of that hymn. And John Wesley cut it down to 24. And the Trinity hymn knocked it down to 4. So we have a lot of good hymns that there. Amazing Grace has about 10 or 12 verses to it. And we knocked it down to 4. So, but we do it in joyful singing, in worshipful singing. Our voices are raised in praise and adoration to God in thanksgiving for what He has done and who He is. And so in corporate worship also, we thank God as we come together just basically on Thanksgiving just to sing, "We thank we all our God." But those are songs that we need to sing all through the year as we labor to ascribe unto God the glory that is due to His name in thankful service and in corporate worship. He says in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds by Christ Jesus." And so when we come to worship God corporately, we're not to be anxious about things, not worrying about stuff, but we're to make our request be known with thanksgiving that He is our God and that He is able to perform. And then in blessing His name, bless His name, for the Lord is good. God is gracious to us in giving us a name that is above every name. The Bible tells us in Philippians that the mind of Christ is to be in us, that same mind which was in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in a fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, Christ also has highly exalted him and given him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. We don't make him Lord, folks. God's already done that. He's Lord today. He's Lord over all creation. He's Lord over us. And our job is to recognize His Lordship in our lives. So, who is to thank God? All the earth is to thank God. How are we to thank Him? With joyful noise, with glad service, with worshipful song, with corporate worship, and by blessing his name, that name which is above every name. But then why are we to thank God? He tells us in this psalm, because he is our creator. We wouldn't exist without God. You know, in our catechism, it says that God made man in space of 6 days and all very good. And he created man in his own likeness in knowledge, righteousness, and holiness with dominion over the creatures. That's the kind of God that we're worshiping. He is our creator. He didn't put some electricity together and start life and let evolution take its place over the years. In the space of 6 days and all very good, he made us. As I reflect upon that, as I get older, there's places that don't work like they used to anymore. And I wonder how in the world those things evolved. How did it evolve that we had a man and a woman at the same time occurring? And all the reproductive products there to take care of everything. No. It was in the space of 6 days and all very good that God made man and woman and all that is here. And we are his people. We should thank God because we are his people. Folks, there's a great controversy going on in the convention today about the doctrine of election and whether or not it's the truth. And I'm telling you today that we are his people by election. The Bible tells us that he chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him. In love, he predestinated us unto the adoption of sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he made us accepted in the beloved. Oh, beloved, if there had not been an election of grace, we would all be hopelessly lost. Because, you see, we do not come in this world religiously neutral. We come in this world rebels against God and against his name. My daughter is a labor and delivery nurse, and she doesn't know how many little babies she's brought into the world. But I was talking with her the other day, and I said, you ought to write a book on your experiences in labor and delivery, and you should entitle it, Bringing Little Sinners into the World, because that's what she does. They come into the world, the very first thing they do is cry. They want their way with things. And it starts from there, and it doesn't end up until God, by grace, brings mercy to them and shows mercy to them. And out of that fallen mass of humanity, God has chosen a people for himself to demonstrate his grace and mercy. And we are his people by election, but we are his people by redemption. Jesus came into the world to save sinners. That's what he did. He didn't come to show us how man ought to live. He came to save his people from their sins. We'll probably hear a sermon on that over the Christmas holidays, that Matthew 2, 22 or 23 tells us that you shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. He did not come to make them savable if they'd do something. He came to save his people, to actually save them, to redeem them out of this mass of fallen humanity and to put them on the road to glory and bring them finally to heaven. But we are his people not only by election and by redemption, but we're his people by regeneration. It's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost in Titus chapter 3, verse 5. We are his people in all of these ways, but not only that, he adopts us into his family as children of God. And we are joint heirs with Jesus Christ, heirs with God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ And that is the condition that we're in at this time of Thanksgiving in our lives. But he also tells us that we're his because we're his sheep. That's not a good thing to say, bless, to some people, because people that raise sheep say they're pretty ornery animals. And that may be a good description of us. But the Bible tells us that we are his sheep and the people of his pasture. And in the New Testament, in John chapter 10, Jesus says that my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. What an assurance, a blessed assurance, not only that Jesus is mine, but that I am his. We are his people. We are to thank God because of that. Because, folks, let me tell you, I was a wicked little 9-year-old boy sitting in First Baptist Church in Marianna, counting the little blocks over the baptistry, drawing on the bulletin, making pictures on the bulletin. And one day I heard the voice of God through the preacher. And he came to me and he gave me all that I need for life and godliness in Christ. Have you experienced that in your life today? Have you come to that place where you've come to the end of yourself? Where if you were to die tonight, are you sure you would go to heaven? And if you got to heaven and God said, why should I let you in my heaven? What would you say? There's only one thing that you can say. Oh, I've had people tell me I've been baptized 3 times. That ought to make it. No, baptism doesn't get you into heaven. And turning in your faith ticket doesn't get you into heaven. You must be born from above to get in heaven. And that is the thing that Jesus came to do. And that's the reason we thank him, because he didn't leave us alone. He could have left us right where we were, and he would still have been God, and we would have been hopelessly lost. But in this time of particular thanksgiving, in this time when we reflect upon God's mercy and grace to us, let us reflect upon his electing grace, his redeeming grace, his regenerating grace, his keeping grace. He does that all for us, and he does it whether we understand it or not. But we are his because of all of these things. But the Lord is good. The Lord is good. It is seen in his abundant provision for us in our lives. You could go through your life and see how God has been good to you. He's good in giving us taste buds. Have you ever thought about that? He could have left it where we'd just take a pill or something and we'd be nourished. But he made it so we can take a big T-bone steak, or for you vegetarians, some good salad. And that tastes so good. God is so good in the variety of goods that he has given us in our lives. But he's not only redeemed us and so forth, but he's good to us because he's given us all of these capacities. But the Lord is also merciful. He is merciful to us. And that's a reason to thank him during these days. You know, a lot of people confuse between grace and mercy. Grace is giving us what we don't deserve. Mercy is not giving us what we deserve. And God in his mercy has dealt with us in preventing mercy. Mercy that goes before us in our lives. I've lived 82 years and more now, and I found the Lord has been gracious and merciful all through my life. He has supplied for our needs. He has given us all of the needful things of life. He has kept us alive for these years. I remember one time I was driving down the Alcan, and I was towing a little Ford Pinto behind a Ford pickup truck, and I came up over a hill, and snow was already on the ground, and I put the brakes on because a car was coming down the middle of the road on the other side, and I put the brakes on, and when I put the brakes on, that little Pinto pulled around the side. I just came loose and came pulled around the side. I pointed the truck over to the side of the road and went into a snowbank, and it stopped. I got out and looked, and there was a 200-foot drop about 100 feet in front of my car. God has been merciful to us over the years. He's brought my wife back from death so many times, and his mercy is so great, and we're so thankful that we serve a God that is merciful to us. He spares us. He supplies us. He guides us. He adopts us into his family. He brings healing to our bodies. He quickens us when we're down. He supports us. He forgives us. He corrects us. And he comforts us. And he delivers us. And one day he'll crown us with glory. That's the God that we have to thank for today and every day. Not just once a year, but all through our lives. Let us give thanks to good God. And not only we're to thank God because of these things, but because his truth endures forever. Regardless of what people say, you don't have a truth, and I don't have a truth. There is truth. It's God's truth. And it's to our peril that we ignore it. It endures forever. His truth endures in the promises he has made to us. Oh, you can go through. When we had our children at home, we had a little box on the table that had daily bread in it. And it has a little promise from the scriptures every day. And before we would eat our meal, we would pick out one of those and read the promises that God had for that day. And that encourages us in time of trial. When we have sickness in our body, when we have trial in our lives, when we seem like all the world is against us, pick out a little promise and nail it to you. Nail it to your table. And meditate on it in your life. His truth endures forever in his promises, but also in his threatenings. He says if we fail to come to him, there's one place that awaits us. And so as we think about Thanksgiving, let's remember that there is also not only the promises of God, but the threatenings of God to those who are disobedient and who are rebellious against him. And so we've gone through this psalm, make a joyful noise to the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness, come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pastures. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generation. Now, how does that apply to our lives today? We got the word, we got what it says, got what it means, I think. What does it mean to us today? Well, there may be some here today who never think about thanking God. He's given you a good job. He's given you a house to live in. He's given you a family that knows the Lord, and you never stop to say thank you. Let this be a reminder that God is a God to be thanked. He is so gracious to us. He is so good. Some can't thank God vocally because of physical illness in their lives. And then some only thank him in a crisis, but some thank him at all times. We thank him that we can sing. We thank him that we can read. We thank him that we live in a free land. We thank him that we know him, the true God. I came across some years ago, if I can find it, a little thing from, well, I'll have to bring it to you another time. This is a preacher's panic here. He doesn't have his notes ready. But this little thing said, get laid, some things that we can thank God for. And I came across a little story that a fellow of an Indian, India, had 8 children that lived in a one-room house. And he went to his priest and said, I don't see how in the world I can thank God with all this going on. So the priest gave him a goat and said, take this goat home and live with him for a week and then come back. And the boy came back with his goat the next week and said, I'm thankful. He had learned what it was to thank God for not having all the turmoil in his house. And so as we enter into this season of Thanksgiving, don't let it be just a day. Don't let it be just a formality. But meditate upon this psalm. And you boys and girls, it'd be good for you to take this psalm and memorize it. I memorized that psalm when I was 6 years old in the 6-year-old class, and it stayed with me all the years. So all those things that you memorized in youth, you can keep on drawing on. And so in Thanksgiving, thank the Lord. Bless his name. The Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. His truth endures to all generations. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we come with thanksgiving in our hearts. We haven't had a goat living with us this week, but we've had so many trials, but we know, Lord, we've still got thanksgiving to give to you. You have been gracious to us. You have been merciful to us. You have given us in Christ Jesus all that we need for life and godliness. And so we thank you. And as we reflect upon your goodness to us this week, in this day of national thanksgiving, we pray that our thanks shall go not to the men around us, not to the people around us, not to the things that you've given us, but to the great God who has been so gracious and deserves our thanks. And it's in the name of Christ that we pray. Amen.